Our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm, from the book of Psalms. This is Psalm 107, 1 through 9. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures for forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those he redeemed from trouble and gather in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert waste, finding no way to an inhabited town. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted with them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way until they reached an inhabited town. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind, for he satisfies the thirsty, and the hungry he fills with good things. This is God's living word for all people. Thanks be to God. This week, as I was reading this scripture, I have to make a confession that I read it with a little bit of help on my own side. Because the last sentence, which has a very clear meaning, I decided to adjust to fit a little bit of what I wanted. The last verse is, for he satisfies the thirsty, and the hungry he fills with good things. Now, he's talking about those who are wandering in the desert, but I thought for myself, maybe this means that what I've decided to do is okay. You see, last Sunday, two friends and I were sitting and watching the Lions game at Buffalo Wild Wings, and I was eating, you know, a basket of 12 wings and fries, and I was having 1, 2, 3 Cokes. And I said to my friends, maybe we should do a weight loss challenge. This is the slightly weird thing a group of 31-year-old men sit around at Buffalo Wild Wings and watch a Lions game and do sometimes. And they said, yeah, we should. When should we start? And I said, well, maybe we should start October 1st, and then we'll have a whole month that we can do a weight loss challenge together. And they agreed. And from that moment, on September 23rd, until now, I have been preparing for my weight loss challenge. And the way that you prepare for a weight loss challenge is that you decide to eat indiscriminately. And you can, Autumn will attest, I've been eating in preparation for my weight loss challenge, which is not necessarily the right way to handle that. But I was, I felt better about it when one of my friends in the middle of this week sent a picture of a completely demolished thing of Oreos, like a whole thing of Oreos, and I thought, well, maybe I'm not the only one. But it was a reminder to me that sometimes the choices that we make are maybe not the best choices. And yet when we try to make those choices, I'm confessing this to you, but I promise if I was not preaching on the topic of being broken and redeemed, I would not be sharing this story with you. The truth is, in our lives, oftentimes what we do instead is we project what can be our most perfect image. If you look like me, you can try to project a perfect image, and it's not always possible. But we try, when we come to church, we walk in the doors and we try to give this image that we have it all together. We walk in the doors, and when we pray together, when we sit together, when we worship together, sometimes what we try to show is that we have it all figured out. We want to appear like we are good. I would say in Birmingham, we take that to a different level. You might go to some other churches, and there might be a little more imperfection in the pews. But at Birmingham, I've experienced that there's expectations in the community. Do you believe that this is true? Yes. Some of you are saying, what is wrong with this guy? And others of you are saying, yes, there's this expectation that you have to have the nice lawn. I've got to work on that. Autumn does better than I do. You have to have a nice car. You have to have a strong image. You have to have beauty and health. There's this projection in Birmingham of perfection. And our goal is to try to achieve that image of perfection in what we do. The truth is, God has made us who we are. And I want to say to you this morning, even if you do not conform to that image, you are enough. I would encourage you to be healthy in your own way, but to know that you are enough. But when we walk in the doors of the church, any church, but also in Birmingham, sometimes we can't always name the things that are going on in our lives, even if they are very real for us. Sometimes we can't name physical pain that we're experiencing without people sharing words on why it is that we're experiencing that pain. Sometimes we may be walking in depressed, but we feel like we can't share that with others because it doesn't conform to the image. Some of us might have some money issues. Some of us may have friends and family members that are dealing with drug issues or a problem with opioids is a major issue in our society right now. Some of us might walk in the door and have complete doubt in our faith, and yet when we sit down in the pew, we have to pretend like we trust everything the crazy preacher is saying. But we're allowed to have doubt in our faith. Some of us walk in and we may have different understandings of current issues with our friends, but it's hard to share that. Some of us might walk in with carrying the burden of hurt relationships of those who we're connected with, and we don't want to share that with others. Some of us, and I've heard this a lot, of people coming to me and in quiet confession saying, "Pastor, so-and-so in my family is not a Christian, and I'm struggling with that." Well, the truth is, one, so many of us struggle with that in our families and in our lives. If we were able to be more open and honest with that, then we would see that we are not alone, and we could begin to have a dialogue about what it means to live in doubt, what it means to be loved by Christ, and how we can share that message with others. It seems like, to me, often what we project is this specific image that if you look at it directly from the front, it's perfect, right? But sometimes it's not so simple. Yale is going to help me out with a video that I was looking for this week, and I found that is a reminder to me of that image.
Weightless is a feeling I've yet to find. Lift me up above the clouds, or step aside. Pick up the pieces and try to save what is left. And I, if found that safe and sound, isn't all they say. For me, my dear, loud and clear, it's the only way. And I know you see straight through me when I say that I'm okay. But it moves so slow and I need to know if I should stay.
Sometimes we focus so much on our projected image. Sometimes we focus so much on that direct image that we hide the fullness of who we are. We forget that there can be beauty in the fullness of who we are and in the process. We are much more real when we can show our full selves to the world around us. To me, that is the definition of community. To me, there should be an ability for us as a people gathered in the house of God together to recognize that it is okay to be vulnerable. The truth is, there's beauty in that reality that there's many parts to us that are complicated and they come together to make something really full and purposeful. The truth is, we're created by God. We are well made. And even in process, we're reminded that there is value and worth in who we are. If we turn to the Bible, we see a Bible filled with characters who we would call broken characters who have been redeemed. There's some that are the usual names that we lift up, like David. I would lift up Jonah. I identify from Jonah because Jonah ran from the expectations of God. Sometimes I feel that in a very real way. I identify with Peter. Peter was beloved. But in that moment of anxiety and chaos and stress, it was Peter who denied Christ and said, I don't even know him. I identify with Paul. Paul was so convinced that Paul was correct, that he was torturing, tormenting Christians. And yet he encountered Christ and his whole life was turned upside down. And what was so familiar and true became the antithesis of who Paul became in Christ. The truth is, it's in the midst of their brokenness that so many characters of the Bible find redemption. It is not a perfect being that Christ or God calls out of the story, but it's within the brokenness that Christ used people for good, even sometimes when they themselves did not understand it. I love our psalm for this morning, Psalm 107, because it talks about the steadfast love of God. Even when we cry out, even when we are in the wilderness of our life, God is there with steadfast love, is the good news of the scripture. This is a beautiful passage to me. But I would say it's even more beautiful when you look at it in the context of psalms, because a lot of our psalms are questions to God. A lot of our psalms are conversations with God. In fact, if you were to turn the page back one page to Psalm 106, it actually is a laundry list of all of the terrible things that the people of Israel had done wrong. I invite you later today, if you're reading your Bible, read back to Psalm 106. It talks about all the wrong choices that were made. And yet, the very end of Psalm 106 is the same language that we encounter in 107. And that is a reminder that even in the choices that they made that were wrong, steadfast love endures forever. We are reminded that we are loved if we read the gospel, if we read the epistles of Paul. We are reminded that in the midst of our hurt and our chaos and our mistakes, that God is there. Romans 5:8. I'm going to use my third grade Bible. Romans 5:8 reminds us, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The truth is, it is when we are imperfect that God is present. There would be not a lot of purpose for God to send Christ to redeem the world if everyone that he was ready to encounter was already perfected in God. And yet it's within the imperfection that Christ comes to earth to teach us about that radical, powerful love of God in Christ. We need to be able to name for ourselves the imperfection of our lives. We need to be able to seek God and be reminded, in my weakness, God is strong. When I was in high school, I was part of, as many people are, I was part of a band. Me and my friend Adam were in a band together. We were called Sunday's Best. We found out later that there's also another group called Sunday's Best. But we were reminded, in that time, we decided we would start a Christian band together. I'm so thankful that we never put our music on iTunes or the internet, because it can live and let live and be gone, and that's okay. But we were Sunday's Best, and we wrote gut-wrenching songs about our Christian faith, about Noah. We talked about God being beside us always. But there was one song that we wrote that was written as a prayer. And both Adam and I, coming from a strong Christian background, carried a lot of guilt some of it deserved, some of it not deserved. But we wrote this song of prayer about sitting and wondering about the presence of God. And the prayer at the end of it was, God, I thank you for the day where your love took our sins away. Doesn't that sound so poetic? Sounds a little bit like high school. But I know, God, that you can love even me, is the way that that verse ended. The truth is, we sang that song in front of our church. We sang that song. We went to the same college together, Albion College. Go Brits. Okay, good. We got a few. But we sang that song for years. And I have to be honest and say that it took me years to believe it. It took me a long time that God could love even me, even in the bad choices that I made, even in the times where I did not stay faithful to God. We sang it over and over and over. And eventually, through community and love and care from others, I began to believe that God could love even me. The truth is, when we're able to turn over some of our imperfection to God, we can be freed up. We can be moved to a new reality in God. We are called to live into our brokenness, not to ignore it, but to claim it in faith and turn it over to God, not to be afraid of our imperfection in life. We can see the powerful redemptive work of God in Christ, that God is with us in our sickness, even in our emotional, spiritual, physical hurt. God is with us in our doubt and faith. God is with us in our questions, in our lives that we cannot answer. God is with us both in our strength and in our struggle, no matter what. God has created each and every one of us with intention. God knows that we're not perfect, but calls us to freely choose how to live, but reminds us God loves us when we're broken and bruised, when we're imperfect and hurting and in all things. God loves us more than anything that we could even think of, is what Romans also reminds us of. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. God sent Jesus Christ into the world not to redeem the perfect, but to free those who were enslaved to pain and suffering and sin and death. So we have to be able to turn it over to God. We have to be able to name and let go of our pain, to believe that the projection of perfection is not a way to live, but instead to go to God and say, God, you know who I am. You know who I'm created to be. Let me live in a way that reflects your love. If we're able to do that, that is freeing to us. That is freeing in the process so that we can be growing always. We are not hated for our imperfection, but we are loved in the midst of it. The truth is, if we're going to be strong together, we also have to be in community with one another. So when we go back to that list of the things that shall not be named in the church, we have to throw away that list. We have to start caring for each other in a way that says, I am imperfect, you may be imperfect, but we can sit together and we can ask what we can do for one another in Christ. We have to be willing to love one another with that same reflection of love that God shows to us over and over and over again. Sometimes that love is something like a family. A family love that is open and honest. Now, naming that, I know some of our families don't have perfect dynamics. But the love that we would hope for a family is one where even when we mess up or make mistakes, we're still reminded of that unending love. So I'd ask us as a Shine community to try to live into that family, familiar love. We have to bring ourselves to God and be true to ourselves and name it. But the truth is, we also have to bring our needs and our hurts and our growing edges to this community so that we can support ourselves in the imperfection and try to live together in love. Families are not identical, and members within a family are different. But we're reminded sometimes that even in our differences, we can find strength. Again, throughout this series, we've been talking about the way that God lives and works in the chaos and anxiety of our lives and helps us to see hope and purpose and love. This morning, what I would love to do as a family of faith together is to come and bring our pictures to the board. If you did not get a picture at the beginning of service, I want to invite you to find Ted McClue, and Pastor Suzanne's going to hang with him as well. But what I want you to do is bring a picture that's a reminder, one that we are different, but within our differences there is strength. And also I want you to see behind the picture. Sometimes as we prepare for a picture, we all stand together next to each other and we're smiling and we're happy and we're perfect. But we're going to put these pictures up here as a reminder that we are family together, but also that sometimes it goes deeper than even the images that we have. So I'm going to invite you to come forward, put your picture on here. If there's more than one picture on a clip, that's okay. And then we'll come back together and we'll pray.